Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 326, Bruce and I grabbing the keys once again to unlock the mailbox and answer your questions.
That is correct. We're going to answer some of your questions today. Thank you so much for the emails, the DMs, the text messages, all that good stuff. We're answering as many as we can for as long as I can sit here.
Okay, that's fair.
Right?
Yes.
This podcast is also brought to you by Unlocking the Magic Travel. If you're looking to buy tickets, Disney Cruise, Disneyland, Disney World, looking to book a reservation at a hotel, check out Unlocking the Magic Travel. They can help you with all of your reservations. We have the best agents as well to help you book all that and come up with the best plan to help you make a great Disney vacation. UnlockingTheMagicTravel.com.
Perfect. All right, so we have so many questions to get through that I'm going to have to talk a little fast.
Do we have that many questions to get through?
We do.
All right, well, listen. This is the podcast where we answer your questions.
Okay.
And we have quite a few. We try to pick questions that we haven't answered in the past. Sometimes, you know, people find the show, they just listen now, and they send us questions that we've had on other podcasts. We should probably organize those because we've answered a ton of questions over all the Q&A episodes that we've done over the last 5 years. We should really organize them so we can be like, you know what? We've answered that question. Go listen to it here.
All right, Bruce, get going on that.
I'm going to try to do that.
Start organizing.
All right, we're working on our website as we speak.
The only thing I can organize is a Disney vacation, and that's about it.
At least you can do that.
Yeah, very true. All right, number one, this is from Tilly Webb. If planning a Disney trip, would you stay at Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom, or Beach Club? Visiting all six parks in Disney Springs, so location for the resort doesn't matter.
Location is not the destination.
That is true.
So she's saying she doesn't really care. Pick one. We're going to pick one for you.
Pick one.
Which one would you stay at?
I think with all three options, I think I'm going to choose the Wilderness Lodge, but it also depends on what time of year, what month you're going, because that's important too. So I think if you're going during like the months of November through February, Wilderness Lodge, because it has that like rustic kind of feel, and I want to be in the winter kind of.
You do? Setting. No one ever said that, ever. No one's ever said, I want to be in the winter.
Not in the winter, but like that setting is a glamorous winter, right? If I have to choose, I think that, especially if you're going with the holidays, like the Wilderness Lodge has the most beautiful tree.
That is true. Winter at the Wilderness Lodge is 1 million bazillion trillion times better than winter in New England.
Exactly. And then the rest of the months, it's going to be a toss-up between Animal Kingdom or Beach Club. But because we're from New England, and we have talked about this in the past, about the Beach Club kind of being similar to Cape Cod here at home for us, I'm going with Animal Kingdom. I love the vibe at Animal Kingdom.
I do too. I love waking up and going to sit on the balcony and watching the animals wake up. It is the furthest away from everything. So I know she said location doesn't matter, but if she is going to six parks, and did she say six parks and five or five?
Visiting. She's going to, well, she says visiting all six parks, but I think what she means is going to all four parks, maybe 6 days.
Got it. In Disney Springs. And yeah. The Animal Kingdom seems to be the furthest away. So if you're taking Disney transportation, that's kind of a hike.
Yeah.
If you have your own car, it's not a big deal because you can just get in your car and drive and it's fine.
I love how she said location doesn't matter, yet we're talking about location.
It always matters to me. Location is always the destination for me for picking what resort I'm going to stay at. I think I'm going to choose Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Okay.
Even though I just said it's the furthest away from everything, I like the vibe there. Wilderness Lodge has a great location because you can take the boat over to the Contemporary, and if you want to walk from there, it's not that far of a walk to Magic Kingdom. In Beach Club, we've stayed there. As much as I love the pool and the location of the Beach Club, If Epcot's not a destination you plan to go to a lot, and if it's raining out,
not your best.
That could spoil your vacation.
I really loved Animal Kingdom because it feels so secluded. Like, it feels like you really traveled super far, and it's almost like a...
You
like,
did.
Well, it almost feels like a bonus to your vacation because you're in Disney and you're going to the parks, but then you're going to this resort that just feels... The setting is just unlike anything I've ever been to before. So I feel like you get a better kind of bang for your buck.
So we're both saying Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Thank you. I
are you changing your mind already throughout the first question?
I think maybe I am.
All right, we'll say both Animal Kingdom Lodge. There you go.
All right, to make it fair. All right, next one is from Susie.
Best plant-based options. We are an entirely plant-based family planning a trip for summer 2022 or 2023. Currently have a 2.5-year-old and a 3-month-old. I'm going to say I am absolutely no help on this.
You are absolutely no help, yet you do enjoy some of the plant-based options and you don't realize.
Do I? Inform me. Which plant? Because you know sometimes I just let you guys order for me.
We do that. Actually, before I say anything, I wanted to mention that just look, Disney has gone a long way with incorporating plant-based foods in the menu. So you can literally find it everywhere, the parks, the resorts. It's really great and easy to find because if you just look at the menu, they have a little green leaf beside the menus on the item. So you know that it's going to be a plant-based item.
Huh.
So it's easy. But I'm just off the top of my head, one of my favorite places to eat for a plant-based is probably going to be Epcot. That's not a shocker maybe to some people because I think it just has – Epcot's just known for food. And for me, like, that's where I go to eat.
Yeah. I'd say the worst place to eat. Don't kill me on this one.
Okay.
The worst park for food is probably Hollywood Studios.
You think?
I think the worst. I mean, that's not saying it's, like, the worst and you're not going to find anything to eat. But I think Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot definitely have a wider variety of foods that you can try that's unique.
Well, if you go on to the Disney World website and you search up dining plant-based, they have a list of all the parks with their items that they offer. So plant-based items that they offer at each park. So they list it like 50's Primetime Cafe. There's the ABC Commissary, which has a California burger, a Backlot Express. So you can go through the list and kind of decide that way. Not a whole lot of variety. I think there's more variety. Besides Epcot, I think there's more variety you're going to find at a resort. Like my a restaurant on a resort. Like my favorite plant based restaurant is probably Sanaa.
Yes, I agree with that.
So good
because they mix up the spices and the flavors, and it's not just a regular plant based option. It's like a meal in itself, and they do a good job of incorporating the vegetarian and plant based options, so it tastes like real food.
And it's not just salad.
Not that plant based is not real food, but you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Coming from a non-plant-based person.
Got it. Okay, that's fair enough.
Okay.
All right, next one. We have, from Marcy, we have one.
So, hold on a second.
What?
I'm not going to say some of the names on these because the last one was Susie Cream Cheese.
Oh, okay.
Not that that's a bad name, but I feel silly saying that.
Okay. Where are they from? Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this one is.
All right, let's get on to the next question. This one says, we have one full day that is a non-park day on our upcoming trip. Would you rather stay at a resort, Port Orleans, for a pool day and eat there, or head to either Disney Springs or the Boardwalk for the day? With a family, our party is split 50-50 on the decision.
That's a great question.
So they're asking, would you rather, on your off day, hang by the pool, Port Orleans, or head over to Disney Springs or the Boardwalk?
I mean, if I had to choose, I'd say both.
You know what? For me, it's based on weather.
Yeah.
100% based on weather. If it's a nice sunny day that's hot, I'm 1,000% picking pool day.
I think that if that's your only full non-park day, you got to enjoy the pool. Like, you've got to enjoy the amenities that your resort has. It bugs me when people don't do that because it's, you know, not cheap to stay at a resort. And if you're never there, what's the point?
Oh, it bugs me when they do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because then there's more people around
me. It's too crowded.
Yeah, so we're just totally the opposite. I want to tell everybody to get out and do something. Go to Disney Springs. Go to the Boardwalk. Hang out with other people in other places.
The girls talked about, our kids just talked about how they love the pool at Port Orleans. It's really a fun pool. It's a big pool. It has a really great slide. So they really love it. But I agree with you on weather because if it's raining and it's, or not even raining, but if it's like overcast and not really sunny, it's not that fun.
Or if it's not a super hot day. We've been in February and November, and it's been, you know, 60, 65 degrees. And although when you're from New England in November, 65 feels like 90 down in Florida for us. So we go sometimes in the pool, but maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're like, you know, it's not that great of a pool day. I don't want to sit by the pool 65 degrees when you can easily go out to Disney Springs or the Boardwalk and enjoy yourself and not sweat to death.
Right.
So I would say it's completely based on weather. Nice sunny day for me, hanging by the pool.
Yeah.
Not sunny day, kind of cool. I'm going to go enjoy Disney Springs or the boardwalk.
I like that answer. I'm with you on that.
All right, next question. I'm going to Disney with my family for my 21st birthday. Well, happy birthday.
Yay.
What places would you recommend to get drinks? Love your show. Well, thanks for loving the show.
You got to book Olga's Cantina. You got to do it.
Do you?
You have to. You got to go to Galaxy's Edge, and you got to get the cool, amazing drinks that are there. That I can't imagine a better setting than that amazing, notorious local watering hole.
All right. So now what if you're not in the park? I mean, also, one of the most popular options is, you know, people drink around Epcot all the time.
That's true.
Epcot, the World Showcase in Epcot, has a wide variety of options for drinks, especially if you turn 21. Yeah. So that's another popular destination. What about if you're not going to the park?
Abracadabra, my favorite. Like, the setting, the getting to the boardwalk is so fun, and just even if, like, you just kind of hang on the boardwalk for a little bit and then you go and you make a reservation for Abracadabra, so much fun.
You always want to go here, even though we don't drink.
I know.
You're always like, let's go to, we're like, what are we going to do there? We don't even drink. I feel like we're taking up space with other people.
I love it. I think that is probably the coolest setting, one of the coolest settings for like a casual lounge, if you will, in Disney.
Okay. Next question. Hopefully that answered that.
Yeah.
What rides do you recommend hitting first thing in the morning, and which ones do you like to wait on? So
that's a good question.
This is a good question, and there's a lot of answers because there's four different parks that you can choose from if you're going to Walt Disney World. Let's assume that they're going to Walt Disney World. It doesn't specify. But let's assume Walt Disney World, and let's assume Magic Kingdom first.
Okay.
So you're going to Magic Kingdom. We're getting there early. What attractions or rides are you like, you know what, let's make a beeline for those?
I'm always heading to Tomorrowland, and I'm always going to Space Mountain, even though maybe my head isn't really, I don't really love the feeling of doing a space travel kind of session when it's 9 a.m., but I'm always there.
Yeah, I'm with you on Space Mountain. A lot of people tend to head towards Mine Train. And I think that's for people who have little kids who want to go on a roller coaster, because some, like, you know, Big Thunder Mountains, little kids can go on, but there's a height restriction. Same with Space Mountain. So if you have small children, maybe you want to head over to Mine Train because it's a roller coaster. It's fun for them. And the line never ceases to go down throughout the course of the day. But for us, you know, like Connie said, we're heading over to Space Mountain, get on that, maybe get off of that. Two things I'm doing. Heading over to Space Mountain, hopping on a ride there, and then I'm going to hop in the line for Joffrey's before the line gets there too long. All right, so the rest of the question says, what would you like to wait on? So I'm going to take this two different ways. I'm going to say, which one would you wait on in line? And then which one would you wait on in later in the day? So which one are you waiting in line for? I don't want to wait in line for anything. So I don't know if there's a particular attraction or ride that I would love to wait on.
I'm waiting on Haunted Mansion.
I guess that's the best cue, right? If I had, if you said, Bruce, which one, if you're going to wait 30 or 45 minutes in any line in Magic Kingdom, which one would it be? I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't be Peter Pan.
You're such a light, 30 minutes is not a wait. I'm sorry, but it's just not. I think of a wait as 45 minutes plus.
Do you ever watch that movie? There's this movie called Here Comes the Boom.
I have watched, yes, because I've been with you.
Okay, so there's the part where he's teaching, right? He's teaching people how to get their citizenship.
Uh-huh.
And there happens to be another meeting in another room. And they're saying like a pledge allegiance to the flag or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this gentleman in the front. And he's like, they can overhear the allegiance going on. So they're like, okay, let's stop and, you know, bow our heads. And the guy looks down for a second. Half a second goes by. He looks up and looks around at the room. And everybody else is still bowed. And he puts his head back down. And he looks back up again a second later. Like, that's totally me. 1 second seems like an hour.
Ah.
So for 30 minutes, that seems like a whole day and a half.
Got it. Okay. That's fine.
So that's why I said Haunted Mansion. That's the only one I could last on.
I'm back to Space Mountain again, though. I can wait there an hour, an hour and a half. Like, I can do it.
Man, you're hardcore.
I am hardcore. On the, you know, the one that I will wait on, but I don't love it, is got to be Big Thunder, because it's just so tight and hot.
It is.
They have the fans going, which is really, I really appreciate, but it's not enough.
We should do a big man friendly version of the podcast. Which attraction cues are big man friendly?
Yes.
Peter Pan and Big Thunder Mountain would not be on it.
No.
And wait later in the day, I would say Splash Mountain, right? Easily one of the ones that I can wait later in the day. There's nothing worse than getting soaked early in the morning, unless I'm at the pool.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair comment, for you know? Sure. Yeah.
So let's move on to the next question. Hopefully we answered that.
Okay.
Oh, we didn't even do any other park.
No, we didn't. And I was just thinking about Fantasyland, how like during the morning, it's really empty. And I love seeing the layout of the land in the morning, because then late morning and midday, it just gets too crowded for me.
I agree with you. What about Epcot?
Epcot, hitting first thing in the morning. Oh, it's Test Track lately.
Yeah, we do have been going to Test Track lately. I think that's mostly because it does get super crowded, and our kids just love that one. So Test Track there. Let's go to Animal Kingdom. Which attraction are you headed for first in Animal Kingdom?
I feel like these are all such thrilling attractions. I always choose like the really fast ones, which doesn't really make sense for first thing in the morning, but Dinosaur?
Yeah, you got to get through the popular ones, though, because those are the ones that are, you know, the exciting thrilling attractions are the ones that get the busiest. So you got to hit them early. Otherwise, you may have to sit there and wait for an hour and a half.
You know, we've never been to Pandora early in the morning, which probably would make sense since that also gets really busy. But we've never done it. To me, Pandora doesn't exist until the evening.
I put a post on Instagram today. Which attraction would you, or how long is the longest you've waited for an attraction? Mm-hmm. Some of these people are crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I waited 3 hours. I'm like, what? I would rather die.
You would rather die.
Then wait 3 hours for any attraction.
Yeah. Okay.
What about, lastly, Hollywood Studios? So now with Galaxy's Edge and Toy Story Land open, what's your go-to attraction ride first thing when we get there?
Once again, I'm back to the thrill. I'm going over to Tower of Terror.
Yeah, we do go there all the time. Not Rock and Roller Coaster, but Tower of Terror for sure is the one we hit first. That's like gets us in the mood for Hollywood Studios.
I don't think you could pay me to go to Rock and Roller Coaster at 9 a.m. That's a lot.
I have a hard time going on that at 1 p.m.
I'm fine with it. It's just that's a lot to take in between the music and going upside down and the whole shebang. I don't know if I could do it that early.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
I'm going to Magic Kingdom for just one day in October while visiting Florida. Oh, that's interesting. What would be your top thing to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the park?
Why'd you say that's interesting?
Because I mean, you're going to Florida, you're just like, I'm going to head over to Magic Kingdom. Usually for me, I'm like, oh, we're going to Florida. I'm going to just not do anything else in Florida except go to Disney.
There's so many things to do in Disney in Florida, though.
I know, but I usually get distracted by Disney.
That's true. Good
point. And we just like, you know what? Let's just go there. Forget everything else we had planned.
It's a lot of pressure, too, to go to Magic Kingdom for just one day. I remember having this conversation with a cast member and how their family often wants to go, and they only have like one day to do it. And it's just like the pressure to make it the perfect day and not have any hiccups is too great.
Yeah, but if you ever went to Florida alone, right? Like say you're going there for a weekend. Mm-hmm. And you have a day in between. Would you go to Magic Kingdom by yourself?
You had me at alone.
That's true. You would love that. That would be your fantasy to go to Magic Kingdom alone. See, me, as much as I'm an introvert, maybe that's why. Because I'm an introvert and I don't want to talk to anybody else that I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see the appeal in going alone because I would feel very lonely. Mm-hmm. But you love it. You would make 1,000 friends. You'd have better time than with your family, probably.
Get to eat what I want. Get to walk on. Oh, yeah.
Every attraction I go on
would
be stressful.
It would.
Because I'd be like, oh, is someone going to sit next to me? Every single one.
Yeah. Well, I'd have a blast. But where would
I would probably end up going on none of them.
Back to his or her question. What would be your top thing to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
That's a great question. Everybody asks that. What do you have to eat? Because we always talk about food a lot. You know, I would say it's not inside the parks, and I know he asked that in his question, but for me, breakfast, if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, it's so easy to either stop at the Polynesian and get Tonga Toast on your way over.
I knew you were going to slide that in.
Yeah, either the way over to the Magic Kingdom, or maybe you're taking the bus, or you're I don't know how you get in there, but maybe you just get right to the Magic Kingdom. You could take the boat back to the Polynesian, get some Tonga Toast, and then go right back on the boat to start your morning. So that's what I would have for breakfast. If I'm going to the Magic Kingdom, since it's so close.
Okay. What about lunch?
I don't know. For lunch, we always seem to end up at Pecos Bill's. Nachos is like a nice, easy lunch that you can get. Maybe a fruit waffle. I know it's not technically lunch, but a fruit or chicken waffle from Sleepy Hollow. That would probably be one of my twos for lunch. And then dinner, I know people make fun of it, but...
What?
Cosmic Rays?
Oh, people make fun of it?
I don't know if people make fun of Cosmic Rays, but they say it's basic food, which it is.
I guess, like... Well, we talk about how when you go to Disney, it doesn't have to be all burgers and fries kind of thing. And then that's ultimately what Cosmic Rays is. But yeah.
I like it there. I like the atmosphere. You take your burger outside, the fumes from the Speedway, it makes you feel like you're at a barbecue.
That's that extra touch.
Yeah, the extra gas smell along with your burger and fries. Perfect.
You don't have to sit outside, guys. You can sit indoors. I highly recommend sitting indoors.
You know, I don't necessarily think if I had one day at Magic Kingdom, I would waste an hour and a half or 2 hours on a sit down. But if we did do a sit down, obviously Liberty Tree Tavern would be the sit down place.
Obviously.
For me.
Yes, that's the one. That is the best. I think it's not, and we talk about this a lot, but it's like not, the menu doesn't stand out like this incredible menu, but it's just comforting. And when you're in a park all day and you're sensory overloaded, I think it's the best place to unwind and eat good food.
Yeah, somebody mentioned us on Facebook on one of the posts that said, you know, I think they were inside of our Patreon group, which you can join. We get extra podcast episodes. We release a podcast a little bit early. We do some live shows. Patreon, you can go to unlockingthemagic.com if you want to join us inside of that. Somebody said in there that they would have never chose to go to Liberty Tree Tavern if they didn't hear us talk about it on the podcast. And they said, we went to Liberty Tree Tavern. It was very relaxing. It was a nice way to kind of escape the, I don't want to say chaos, but the chaos from the Magic Kingdom. You know, the sensory overload that the Magic Kingdom shares with you when you're outside of the restaurant. They said it was a nice way to relax and just get something good to eat.
This was from Claire, and she shared photos inside our Patreon group, but they looked so delicious. And she actually said, it's a nice, calm atmosphere. Bruce, by the way.
Yeah.
You didn't even see the message right now, and you just paraphrased, like, perfectly.
Did I?
Yeah, all by memory. I'm, like, really impressed.
Excellent.
But she says, nice, calm atmosphere to escape the chaos outside, too. And that's kind of what I was saying. Like, it can be a little sensory overload for everybody. Like, there's a lot going on. So sometimes you just need a comforting meal and like, something you don't really have to think about.
Chaos in a good way.
Chaos though. In a good way, yeah.
Like, very good chaos. Like exactly. You would get excited. You're almost too excited outside. Sometimes you need to step back and be inside the Liberty Tree Tavern with the boring decor and good food.
Exactly.
All right. So what are you choosing? I went through mine. What about you?
I love how you slid in the Tonga Toast there. You got to do that for every episode, I think.
If you said Animal Kingdom or Epcot or Hollywood Studios, I wouldn't have been able to do that. But right. When you go to Magic Kingdom, it's so close.
Just there.
You just look over the lake and you're like, the Tonga Toast is just on other side of this lake. If I could swim there, maybe I would.
No, we were not do that. But yeah, I see your
point. Well, I know it's not allowed. Oh, I said, if I had to, maybe I would.
Okay. I am not as complicated. I'm going to go with a coffee from Joffrey's, probably in Tomorrowland. That's usually where I head first. And a donut. Like that, don't disregard the simplicity of a good old donut from Joffrey's.
I have to say, too, not only the donut, but the apple fritter from Joffrey's there is pretty good, too.
It's really good. So I'm in Tomorrowland. That's where I get my breakfast. It is really sugary, which sometimes it may or may not agree with me. Like sometimes with too much sugar, I get really tired. So hopefully that's not the case. But the Joffrey's usually offsets that. But if I don't do that, it's usually a cinnamon roll from Gaston. I save all my sugar consumption for Disney.
Yeah, just don't put sugar in your coffee and just have your donut on the side.
There you go. Then for lunch, I'm always at Sleepy Hollow eating a chicken and waffle. That's absolutely my favorite.
You like the chicken and waffle better than the fruit waffle.
Yes. I don't not like the fruit and waffle. It's just the chicken or the spiciness of the chicken and then the sweetness that you get from the waffle and the syrup is just the perfect combination. And I never can find something like that at home. So I'm always getting that. And then dinner would be...
By the way,
what?
Get the sauce on the side.
Yes.
With the chicken and waffle so you don't get a soggy waffle. Is there anything worse than a soggy waffle?
I don't think so.
Although, should be our new shirt. Not much is worse than a soggy waffle.
Do better. I don't know. You're right. If you put the syrup right on it before, like, but if it's not on the side, it does get soggy. But I got to tell you, there was one time where I did get a soggy waffle and there was no syrup on it.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was kind of a bummer.
That is true. You should show them your shirt.
I should.
Hey, listen, when I'm ordering this chicken and waffle, check out my shirt. It says there's nothing worse than a soggy waffle. You make sure the waffle ain't soggy.
It was an off day for sure. It was like a soggy waffle and a not so crispy chicken. And I was bummed out, let's just say. And for anyone that had tried it that didn't like it, give it a chance because you might have gotten it on an off day too.
Yeah, even Disney has off days.
Even Disney has off days, yes. But I promise you it's delicious on what it's done right, and there's nothing better than sitting, enjoying your lunch and looking at the Magic Kingdom and the castle behind you, Cinderella Castle. It's awesome. All right, dinner. Definitely either with you, Cosmic Rays, although I'm sitting indoors, because it's just fun. Like, I like being in Tomorrowland. And part of what I just said earlier about not having it be chaotic and you need sensory, like, kind of simmer, I kind of feel the opposite when I'm in Tomorrowland. For some reason, Tomorrowland, I'm rejuvenated and I just feel alive.
Sometimes Cosmic Rays is a little chaotic.
It is, but I like it. Like, I love that theme. So it just energizes me. Like, I don't need any time out from the world around me. Like, I'm stimulated in a good way. So Cosmic Rays, or a classic has always been the Columbia Harbor House, which we always visit at some point, either lunch or dinner. But that's usually my picks for, I would say, like you said, if it's just one day, it's kind of tough to do a sit down dining because it is a longer period. But so if it's sit down, definitely doing I'm with you at the Liberty Tree Tavern, but if it's all quick, that's my pick.
Well, Columbia Harbor House and Liberty Tree Tavern kind of have the same vibe, except one's sit down and one's quick service, right?
Yeah.
Like if you go, I'm not even gonna say, because I don't want to tell you, because okay. I don't want to ruin the surprise for us when we go.
Yeah.
If you go to the Columbia Harbor House, there's places where you can sit in there where you get like that less noise, less chaos. It feels kind of like you're alone, which is good, and you get to escape the chaos of Fantasyland. And that Haunted Mansion area always seems to be a cluster where people kind of gather, and like that's kind of where they look up, and they're like, all right, where are we going? Where are we going now?
My one complaint, or like if Disney is listening, which I know they are, they're always listening, I want the tuna to come back. I've been stalking the menu because the last few times we've been, they've removed the tuna fish sandwich. I know it sounds silly because you can do tuna anywhere, but for some reason, it's super good at Columbia Harbor House, and I want it back.
All right. Well, listen, Disney, bring back the tuna, will you?
So hopefully it'll be back by the time they hear this, or if not, get going. Let's go.
All right. Next question. Ready?
Yes.
Bringing my grandma to the parks for the first time in 16 years, later this month.
Woohoo.
She hardly remembers the last trip and has no idea what to be excited for. What are some things we should make sure we do with her? She's 70 and even said she might try Rock and Roller Coaster.
What? That's awesome, Grandma. I'm so excited for you. First of all, if she doesn't remember the last trip, then I hate to say it, but she did it wrong. Whatever you did on the last trip, or if you were with her or not, there's a piece missing.
Because, yeah, but you know what? In her defense, she's 70, and I'm not even 70, and I forget what I did last week.
Okay, good plan. But I think when you do carve out special, if you do stay in the moment, there are memories that can happen. Like, either you plan or not plan. Like, that, to me, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, you should put a GoPro on your grandma.
You really should.
Grandma GoPro. That would be the amazing thing to see. Like, have her go on the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
Or maybe the person behind grandma wears the grandma GoPro, so it's always focused on grandma.
Perfect.
That would be what I would do.
Yeah.
That would be a memorable thing. Be like, it's like, the you know how you watch sports sometimes and it's in like they're mic'd up?
Yes.
Like, imagine grandma mic'd up on Rock and Roller Coaster. That would be a memorable trip. Not only for grandma to go back and watch 5 years from now, but grandkids, or you even, to go back and watch later on and be like, let's go watch Grandma GoPro.
Epic. I want that video. I'll pay you for that video.
I know.
That's gold. I totally agree with Bruce. That's sort of something I would never think of, but gold. I think Grandma is going to have a blast. I think if she's even thinking about Rock and Roller Coaster, that just tells me that like her spirit and her energy is like just right. She's going to have the best time no matter what you do. I do think a lot has changed in the last 16 years, especially cuisine-wise, food. If grandma is like anything like my mom was in her 70s when we took her the last time, and she was shocked at all the food, the type of food you can get at Disney. So I kind of knew that going into it. Like, my mom loves eating. I get it from her. So I knew the way to her heart was through food, and she just had so much fun in every park, kind of eating around the world in every park.
Yeah, and plus you're walking a lot too, so you get all that, anything you eat, you get to kind of walk off throughout the course of the day.
Exactly.
Just don't do eating Grandma GoPro. Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants that. Stay away from
just
that.
Just attractions and hanging out Grandma GoPro.
I know it sounds silly, but I do think involving your grandma in some kind of coordinating of outfits enhances the trip. And I'm not saying matching outfits, but I'm just thinking grandma's cool. Like, I want to give her like a rock shirt, and I just, You know, can she get her hair colored, spiked right? up before the trip? I don't know.
That would be awesome.
That would be cool. But there is a lot. Even Disney Springs with grandma, that would be so fun.
I just think grandma GoPro. Just go any way you want. Hang out with grandma. Always record it because you never know what magical gem is going to pop out when she's on an attraction that you don't think she's going to enjoy.
Yeah. I think, I mean, if she's even willing to go on the Rock and Roller Coaster, that's awesome. I think she's going to have, we brought my mother on, not Rock and Roller Coaster, but we did bring her on.
Everest.
We brought her
Tower
on.
Tower of Terror.
Yeah, she had, she.
Mine Train, Big Thunder Mountain. She went on all of those. The only thing she didn't go on was Rock and Roller Coaster. But I think we were more like, yeah, maybe that's not for you.
Sit that one out.
Because she just got off of Tower of Terror. Like, I don't know if you can handle them. Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster back to back. Pick one. Which one do you want to go on?
You know what's funny? The one thing I underestimate is, like, my mom has more energy in her 70s than I do. So she was ready to go. Like, there were things that I was surprised she wanted to do. So I think that to keep that in the back of your mind. But then again, if she does want to people watch and kind of have her time, don't make her feel like that's not, like, a good thing. Like, you can still have fun in Disney while you're enjoying a snack and just kind of people watching.
That's sometimes the best part.
It is. All right.
Next one.
Did we answer that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grandma GoPro. That's all you need to know.
All right. Go for it.
Next. Kelly asked, okay. We're going to WDW May 2022 and are staying for 10 days. How many park days do you suggest? We currently have 5 booked, but are contemplating adding a 6th day. Thanks for unlocking the magic. Aww. Such a bright spot in our day. You guys are great.
That's an awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, that's great. Thanks. Thank you for saying that.
Thanks for thinking of us.
What do you think? So they're staying for 10 days. And yes. They have 5 days booked for parks. So that leaves probably like 4 days between travel days, right? For the resort, 4 full days if you take the travel days out.
Wow, you're good at your math right now.
And they're thinking about adding a 6th day, which will only leave them 3 days.
Oh my gosh, I've gotten cross-eyed.
Yeah, me too. I say no. I say 5 days in the parks is enough. It leaves you with either hitting a couple parks twice or maybe one park twice and every other park once. And that leaves 4 full days for resort. And depending on what resort you're staying at, if the weather's nice, like, that's what you want. That's why you stay at a Disney resort.
I got to tell you, 10 days is, like, my ultimate. Like, if I can have my dream vacation, it's always going to be 10 days. Because that, to me, if you can afford to do it, it's just awesome. You really feel like an escape. I do just suggest 5 days, though. Like, I don't think you don't necessarily need 6 days. At least for us, like, that gives you an opportunity to hit all 4 parks and then add one to the one you like best, Magic Kingdom.
My one thing I would say is if you're staying on property, don't add the 6th day. If you're staying off property, you may want to add the 6th day.
Oh, that's a good point of view.
Sometimes when we stay off property, it gets boring.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot to do in Florida, if you don't mind. And maybe you have a car, you want to drive to the beach, or maybe you want to hit Kennedy Space Station.
Good enough.
Kennedy, whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking
about. Good enough, Bruce.
The NASA place over there.
The NASA place
on the coast.
Oh, my heart.
You maybe want to hit that, or maybe you want to go to Universal one day. Maybe mix it up a little bit. Switch it up.
Yeah. But if you are on property, you really do need to enjoy the resorts.
I mean, you pay a lot of money to stay on the resort. You might as well get the most out of it.
You really should, I think. And 10 days is epic, but 5 days parks, perfect. No need for the 6th day.
Like, exactly.
Unless you're doing what Bruce said. Great advice, Bruce.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm impressed. All right, this next question I'm going to read because it's really just a question for you. I don't really know how to answer it. Maybe I do, but I don't think I do.
All right.
This one's from Nick. Big fan of your podcast. What are some tips you would have for someone just started with a podcast focused on Disney World?
Oh, I thought it was going to be some introverted question.
Oh.
It's usually the questions you focus towards me.
Yeah.
So what advice would I give for someone who's starting a podcast about Disney?
Yeah. What advice do you get? I would say make sure you love it.
I would say set your expectations. Like, what's the reason for you doing the podcast? A lot of people want to start a podcast to make money from it. And they don't give it long enough to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to like what you're doing. You need to like the podcast and just do a podcast that you enjoy doing, not one that you think other people want to hear.
Yeah, that's good advice too.
Because if you do a podcast that you think other people want to hear, they don't.
Not only that, but if you're doing it just because you think people want to hear it, you can almost tell in your voice when you're recording that they don't really love it. And it's kind of hard to listen to. It kind of feels scripted.
Back to they don't love it.
They don't love it.
So do the podcast you want to listen to or the podcast you enjoy doing because it's going to give you a lot more time to do it without any expectations of anybody listening or advertisers or sponsors or anything like that. You're just going to enjoy doing the show.
And it takes a while to get into your rhythm, you know? Like, our kids are starting their own podcast, and it's taking them a little bit to kind of find their groove and, like, what they actually want to talk about.
This is going to be hard to hear.
What's that?
You need to do 100 episodes of your podcast.
1 million.
100. Like, I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah.
You need to get to 100 episodes before you really find your groove.
I can contest to that.
And it takes a long time. So if you do one episode a week, that's 2 years of doing a podcast before you find your groove. You know, you get your topics down. You get your voice down. You feel comfortable editing and talking on the microphone, and you don't sound awkward. It takes 100.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't get to that.
I can attest to that. That's for sure. Because I think it took us a while, whether we admitted it to ourselves or not, that we didn't have our groove going.
Yeah.
Until after 100. Maybe just before 100 for us, but I do think it, at least nerves, like I was very nervous all the time, and it feels good to not feel that way anymore. Right. All right, next one from Alexandra. If you got to work for Disney in any aspects, behind the scenes or not, would you rather work in movies, TV, like Disney Plus, for example, or would you work in the parks?
I would not work in the parks.
Why?
There's too much people interaction on that. I think I want to work in the movies, but not as an actor, like behind the scenes of the movies. I'm fascinated by the production and how they put it together and how they organize the scripts and the creativity involved with all of that. I like that. That's kind of what I would do.
I agree. It's a really cool thing, but I think I would want to be in some of these scenes where the actors actually are surrounded, like how they're doing. They're doing so many movies now that, all right, a lot of them can be green screened, but not some, like some, they actually build these incredible sets and they just put you in that. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Like you get to live your childhood dreams, like actually in the place.
Yeah, but is it as cool? So we watch, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you watch that movie and you see, I mean, not the movie. It feels like a movie.
It does.
The show on Disney Plus, you see the finished product and you're like, wow, that's amazing. I would love to go to that scene. But then you go to the scene, it's just a big giant green screen.
Well, yeah, I know that. But I, like I said, you're definitely going to have like the green screen. But didn't they like build like these incredible sets for The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
So how cool would that be to be plunked into the middle of that and getting to live, getting paid to kind of, I mean, I know you got to kind of be talented too, I guess. But you got to get paid to kind of be in this fantasy world.
Yeah, I would love to see how they put that all together because I think that could be good content-wise for your future. I don't know if I could act because they'd be like, all right, action. Here's the scene. You're in this mountain range and Baby Yoda's over there doing his thing and you have to like, and I'm like, I can't, there's nobody over there.
Give us your choice. And you have to make a choice as like an actor. Like that's how you get, like when they're casting you and stuff, they want to see certain choices that you add to the character. So it's wicked involved.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Wicked.
Wicked involved.
Wicked involved. But I am also a control freak and I would say that working in the parks might be fun if I got to like organize the parks. For instance, there was a time where I think I truly feel like somebody was listening to me because I was in front of Cinderella Castle and I said, wouldn't it be amazing if they had a green area where people could sit and just kind of admire the castle, maybe eat, have a blanket, kind of picnic. And guess what? It happened.
That's true.
So I think I'd be good at that.
I'd have to work in some food capacity, like a taste tester. Do they have those kind of jobs?
Ooh, they must.
I couldn't work as a cast member because it seems very repetitive. Some of the things that they do or say, you only see it once as a person who goes on the ride, but they've done it a bazillion times.
Well, this is to the next question from Vicky. If you were a cast member, what role and where would you want to be? Attraction, merchandise, food and beverage? There's a lot to pick from.
No.
Too many talkie.
I don't think I would ever get hired.
No,
I wouldn't make it past the interview process.
You'd be grumpy. I think you would get called out for like day one.
I feel like I should work in the Haunted Mansion or Tower of Terror just for that role.
Yeah.
Like I could be grumpy
right,
myself, but it'd be part of the role.
Exactly.
Like if I was myself, but I worked at the carousel.
Oh. Hot mess.
Yeah, that would be, I'd be rude.
Yeah.
But if I worked in Haunted Mansion or Tower of Terror, I'd fit right in.
To be fair, you're not rude. It's just kind of like you come across as sometimes grouchy and grumpy because you're an introvert.
Yeah. Like, get away from me.
If that's a thing.
Is that grumpy and grouchy?
I don't think so.
Get away from me?
No, not at all.
Yeah. That's just me.
But you really say, I'm a nice guy. I want to talk. It's just.
Online.
Yes.
Not in person.
No, yeah.
I want to talk to you. Yeah. Over there.
Over there. I think I would be awesome at Haunted Mansion with you. I think the two of us together, I would want to be like the main character though. Is that a possibility? Like, can they?
What is the main character of Tower of Terror?
Like, can I be Constance? Like, actually wear Constance and be there and just kind of roam around scaring people?
I mean, I guess if you were in charge of that, you could, right? Like, that's the role. That's the role I want to do.
I want to do that. Like, I want to be in her getup and I don't want to just sit in the attic. I want to like follow you around while you're in your doom buggy and just have conversations with you.
Oh my God, I'm out.
No. All right, next question. Maybe you should read.
All right, here we go. Would you rather Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom or Disneyland?
Oh, this is a hot topic. But
no, it isn't.
No.
Super easy.
Super easy?
Disneyland. Not even a shadow of a doubt.
I think it's a hot topic because it is a must do in Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World as well. Like, it's a ride that you have to go on. It's one of my favorites there, but it doesn't have much on Disneyland. Like, going through and being on the bayou in the beginning really is magical and something that I can't even put it into words, the feeling I get when I'm on and going through those waters.
The only thing that's missing is a buzzer so I can get off at the bayou. Like when you're on the bus, like the MBTA here in Boston,
you
hit the buzzer when your stop comes up and you can get off.
Yeah.
I need one of those on the boats.
Why is that?
So like when I go through the bayou, it'd be like, I can just get off at the restaurant and eat.
Oh.
And like get back on the next one that comes by.
You want to be taken to the restaurant, have your, like, you don't want to walk into the restaurant. You want to actually be, like.
I want to take the pirate boat to the restaurant.
That would be cool.
Eat my lunch.
Yeah.
And then get on the next boat that comes by.
You get off, you're like, ahoy, biddies.
Yeah.
And you, or is that me?
I'll bring snacks. Oh, yeah, that's you. That's not me. Bring snacks, though. You can say ahoy. I'll bring snacks.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. And is it me or is it the detail just that much grander in Disneyland? I think it goes by the quaintness. Quaintness. Is that a word?
It is now.
Quaintness.
I know
that
what you mean.
Disneyland provides. Like, it feels very close to you and like you can just reach and touch it.
Holy smokes. We have a lot of questions. Let's keep going here.
Okay. So we both say Disneyland.
Yes.
Okay. Next one.
What are the best Christmas activities, events to do? I know there's an Epcot festival and some overlays, but I haven't been at Christmas since college. So I don't know what to be sure to see and do. Now, she could have been in college a year ago or 50 years ago.
Yeah, so there's a lot. But, you know, the parks do, all of them actually have some kind of holiday overlay that they do. One of my favorites, well, besides Magic Kingdom, to me, that's the most Christmassy place.
Definitely.
Magic Kingdom and probably the Grand Floridian Resort or maybe the Wilderness Lodge are the places that I love to go to really get into the Christmas spirit. But I really like the what they do at Hollywood Studios. I think that's really cool, the way they kind of transform Hollywood Boulevard and really make it cool on the Tower of Terror Hotel.
Yeah. And also, too, if they ever bring back Mickey's Christmas party.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty cool.
I mean, they're having versions of parties now, which is, it's fine. We're still kind of getting through this year.
Right.
But it will, I'm sure, going to come back with everything the way everybody remembered, maybe even better someday in the future, which I agree with you. That's really cool. But that's a special ticketed event. So if you're not really wanting to spend extra, there are ways to kind of incorporate the holidays. At all the resort, all the parks, all the resorts usually have some kind of overlay, and even in Disney Springs.
I think Christmas time, we always say go resort hopping. I think especially during Christmas time, you should go resort hopping.
Yeah.
Because you get to see what they do for decorations for Christmas at each resort.
I agree.
We stayed at the Yacht Club and the Beach Club, and they did a really good job for Christmas.
You know what I read on Disney Springs that I've never gone to see before is at Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar in Disney Springs. They do a holiday takeover. It says, head to this restaurant meets lounge for a fun holiday take on its eye-catching decor and more.
Yeah, great.
Cool. I think, too, one thing, I'm going to go back to outfits again. Sorry, Bruce, stand by. But I think when you're dressing for the holiday occasion, we did that one trip. We made sure we had red and green and either, like, the kids had festive ears or whatever they brought with them. It just made me in the spirit because I don't think it necessarily is in your face. Like Disney doesn't do anything really in your face. It's kind of like subtle all around unless you're attending one of those parties and that's different. But if you're not, you just kind of have to take it on your own hands and kind of make it Christmassy on your own. Like decorate your room kind of thing, your hotel room. Am I wrong about that, Bruce?
Fabulous.
Oh, I'm right?
Yep.
Okay.
Next question.
Go for it.
Are the water parks good for adults without kids, or should we steer clear?
Ah, that's a good question.
You know, I have to say, I think we talked about this in an episode we did previously.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't super excited to go to the water park, but I have to say I had an amazing time.
Which, by the way, there was another question that someone asked if we were ever going to be doing a podcast about the water parks, and we did. We did Typhoon Lagoon. We did Unlocking Typhoon Lagoon, and it's episode number 133, if you want to go back. And listen to that. I loved the water park. Like, I think the expectations, like you, Bruce, were kind of mixed because I didn't know. I knew it was Disney. And I know whatever Disney does, they do great. But I'm not necessarily a fan of hanging out in my bathing suit all day. Like,
I wasn't either.
I like being in a bathing suit, but I like being bathing suit poolside specifically, not necessarily walking around everywhere with my bathing suit. So I was a little uncomfortable. But once I got there, it almost felt the same like I did off the Disney cruise when we were at the Castaway Key.
Yeah, I think you can do as much or as little as you want. If you want to go to the water park and just hang out by the wave pool and go on the lazy river, that's a day in and of itself.
Did you feel like it was suited for more adults?
I felt like there was places that were definitely suited more for little kids.
Yeah.
And if you go without kids, you just steer clear of those.
Steer clear of the kids or steer clear of the places.
Yeah, both. Bit of both. Steer clear of the kids on those places.
I think especially if you're not staying at a moderate or deluxe resort because those have like a water slide in your pool. If you're not staying at one of those, I think you should definitely go to a water park if you're, and who cares? I don't think you need to have kids.
Right.
I'm sorry, kids, but I think that it is tropical, especially Typhoon Lagoon. To me, that's I don't really love Blizzard's beach decor because we're from New England and we get enough of snow. So when I see snow, I kind of cringe. But over in Typhoon Lagoon, I truly felt like we were back at Castaway Key. So I had a lot of fun.
I agree.
Okay.
All right, ready? Let's get to the next question. Wrong one.
Okay.
Here we go.
Next one.
Trying to love Animal Kingdom, but need help. Wait a second. They're trying to love Animal Kingdom.
You know, give her some slack cut her some slack because we didn't love it in the beginning either.
That's true. What's your best plan for this park?
Well, I got to tell you, now that Pandora is open and the park is open at night, I don't know the last time you've been, but that certainly helped us a lot. Like for some reason, knowing that the park closed early before or knowing that it always seemed like a half day place for us, maybe in the back of my mind. So we'd always go and we'd never really feel true in the moment and we would leave, it'd be hot. I think the best plan, first of all, is if you already don't think you like Animal Kingdom, I wouldn't go during the very, very hot months.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for you.
Because it's just way more hot than any other park can ever be. And I know that's part of probably the theming. So I would avoid that unless you like being hot. That could be a thing. Bruce certainly likes being hot.
I love the humidity.
He loves it. And then the second thing I would say is really make sure that you're carving out the land beforehand. So get yourself a park map. Look at the park. This is the one park that I think is crucial to have a park map because for the longest time, things like the Tree of Life, like I didn't even know there was an attraction in there.
Not only that, but it's the one park where its layout is not very intuitive.
It's not, and it's so large.
Yes, so you do need to make sure you do have a map. And someone said, how do you spot a Disney rookie if they hold a park map? You don't need to necessarily hold the park map. You can look at it on your phone.
It's fine.
But don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like looking at the park map, and I've been lots of times.
I like it too, but I think getting yourself familiar with the layout is crucial because then it will settle your mind, which will make you really be in the moment and get to appreciate all the animals and the surroundings. So you don't feel like you're rushing to go see everything and then you're kind of lost. I remember feeling exhausted the first few times we visited and then leaving early because we just couldn't handle it. And then after the fact, for some reason, I think it was once Pandora opened, but not even blaming Pandora because it's really not, you know, my most favorite area. Like, it really, it is a special place, but I like the fact that it kind of forced me to just really look at the park and really kind of take in each land at a time. And I really, that's when I like started really liking Dino Land even, which is funny because not a lot of people get Dino Land.
Yeah. I just think too, if you don't love it, don't try to love it.
Eh.
Do what you do you.
I'm going to try to change that.
You can try to change your mind, but if you don't like being at Animal Kingdom, like maybe you spend 2 days at Hollywood Studios. Like that's what you go on vacation for, to do things you enjoy doing. Don't try to force yourself to do something.
You know, I agree with you in a certain level because I do think there are a lot of people like us that hadn't loved Animal Kingdom, that learned to love it, and now it's a place that even like the kids, they ask to go to that park.
Yeah.
When we can only do sometimes trips, we can only do 3 parks. Like they're always asking for Animal Kingdom. I think you should look at the food too. Like there's a lot of places to eat in Animal Kingdom that are delicious. So that's part of making the experience fun. And don't discount the shows. The shows are the best. Like these are Broadway type shows. Like the Festival of Lion King is one of my absolute favorites. Visually, even if you think you're not a show person, like you don't really love that.
Like me, you mean? Are you referring to me there?
Are you raising your hand?
Yeah, I was raising my hand.
Like you don't think you love live shows? Trust me, give it a chance. So
got
that's
it.
My tip.
I agree with Connie.
Okay.
Finally. Next question. What are some of your best tips for flying with young kids?
That's a good question.
Drive.
Ugh, drive? Are you kidding? We've done 24-hour car rides with 8-month-olds. That was... I don't even know. Maybe just we had more energy when we were younger. I don't know how we did that.
It was fun.
Was it?
It was fun. Listen.
Road trip.
You only live once. It's an adventure. We can say we drove to Florida from Boston. And it's something that the kids remember even to this day. Mm-hmm. And that's what you go on these vacations for, right?
Yeah.
You go on for when they get older, they can have memories of driving miserable rides from Boston to Florida with their parents, and they could talk about to their kids.
All right. Well, assuming they cannot drive, that's not an option.
No.
Flying with young kids, first of all, I think you got to know your own kid. I think that you can take tips all day long, but if your kid doesn't fit a certain, like, if your kid is a certain way, like, doesn't love sitting confined for a long time, like, that's when you maybe board last. Some people say, oh, you should board first, because then your kid gets settled, whatever. I think I'm the opposite. Like, our kids have always been better when they board last because it's less time sitting confined in the plane. I think throw away any rules about electronics, like, throw them out the window because you're going to need them. Food, don't forget that helps too. I kind of just kind of be like, any kind of regular rules you have at home, whether it's screen time or snacks, whatever, that just, forget it.
Yeah, that's a good advice.
And don't get too stressed. Like, especially a plane to Orlando, don't stress yourself because there are probably, the whole plane is probably filled with young kids. So that's the least worried I get. I get more worried when we're flying to, I don't know,
Los Angeles because it's further of a flight.
Not even that, but it's like the likelihood of people flying to Los Angeles just because they're going to Disneyland is much lower than people that are flying into Orlando. Like, what are you going to Orlando for? You know, most people are going to Disney or some kind of Disney or a theme park area vacation. So that's what I think.
All right, great. I'm not going to add anything because I don't feel like I'm qualified to add any tips for that.
I got to say, I think that with flying with Bruce, I am kind of flying with young kids all the time.
That's so you're trying to say, what would I do? I bring lots of food.
Exactly.
I bring lots of drinks. I bring lots of things to do other than the movies because I get bored of those on the flight. And I'd say those 3 things. Lots of food, lots of screen time, like Connie said, and lots of drinks. That's how I get through the flight.
I think that some people try to coordinate it where they'll be tired. Their child will be tired.
Don't do that.
Well, you know what happens to our kids is our kids, for some reason, the longer you kind of withheld or tried to schedule their naps, like they would get overstimulated and it would be 10 times worse.
All right.
So that never worked out for us.
You're going to have to read the next couple questions because they're very long.
Okay. These are emails. This is from our Patreon member, Jen. Thank you for being a supporter of Patreon. She's actually from Massachusetts, close by too.
There you go.
Hi, Bruce and Connie. Do you have any funny memory of a time on an attraction? For me, it was my daughter's 10th birthday celebration at Mickey's Not So Scary Party. After collecting candy all night, we rode Space Mountain, and my daughter lost grip of her candy bag, and it went flying on one of the hills. To this day, almost 5 years, we still joke about holding on to your candy while traveling through space.
There you go. That is pretty funny.
That is actually hysterical. And these cast members that have to collect candy. I mean, I know I've lost like sunglasses, probably five.
How much money do you think they make?
Tons. And that, don't they bring it to like the cat, they hold it until and for a specific time. And I think, don't they bring it to a cast member store or something eventually if no one claims it? I don't know, but I'd be eating all the candy.
I'm petrified of losing things out of my pockets. I still, to this day, when I come off a Disney attraction or ride, I check my pockets to make sure I have everything. And when I jump into the pool, I check my pockets to make sure I don't have anything.
Yeah, that's been a fail.
So one memory I have is similar to that is we were on, I think it was Rock and Roller Coaster, and I had a hat. And for some reason, I just forgot to take it off, and it flew off on takeoff. But Kula was sitting right behind me, and she like kind of reached up and snatched it right out of the air.
Yeah. It was
on, pretty awesome.
It was actually on Space Mountain, and we actually got the photo.
Oh.
And you have, it's the best photo ever because your hands are up, like, looking for your hat. So the amount of, like, fear you had, like, my hat, yeah. I don't know where to go. And she's just got this big old grin.
She took it. Well, she snatched it out of the air for me. Wait, so that's a fun memory.
She snatched it and managed to put it on in time for the photo, which is incredible. I think mine is back on Space Mountain. It was the time that we tried to do the happy birthday sign for Bella, and we botched it.
It was all backwards.
It was all backwards.
It was all messed up.
I have so many fun memories. I could go on and on. That could be a whole show. Fun memories on attractions.
Maybe I should do a show.
Funny memories. Okay. Hi, Bruce and Connie. This is from Stephanie. She says you can say her name. This is an email.
Hi, Stephanie.
I'm currently planning a Walt Disney World vacation for next June. My travel party is going to consist of my husband, mom, sister, dad, and mother-in-law. I've been looking into moderate resorts and have narrowed it down to Port Orleans, French Quarter, Caribbean Beach, and Coronado Springs. Which one would you recommend? My husband and I love the French Quarter when we stay there for our honeymoon, but I worry if I set everyone else's expectations too high, they might end up disappointed. So how do we think? She says, what do you think? Am I overthinking things? I want to have a great time, experience the magic. I love the podcast and all the tips you share.
Listen, low expectations is the key to life. Tell them it stinks. It's horrible there.
It is terrible.
You're going to hate this resort. I'm just telling you, it's the only one we could get.
Yeah.
We're staying at French Quarter. Everything else was booked. It's going to be terrible. You're going to hate it. Just set it that way. You'll be good to go.
I mean, I think if you loved the French Quarter, I think you should stay there. I mean, especially, I don't know, with your mother-in-law, like the fact that that resort is small and very walkable is just perfect to me.
I think with all three of those choices, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, that's true.
If you do have your mother-in-law, depending on how old she is, like you said, Caribbean Beach in Coronado, you do have the possibility, unless you ask for a closed room, to be put far away from the amenities. So you may have to walk a while. Where French Quarter, everything's pretty close. Even the furthest room away is not that far away from the dining area or the pool or the boat.
Yeah.
Everything is really walkable. So that would be my bet. That's where I would stay.
Right. And then the bonus is you've already stayed there and love it. So there you go.
Exactly.
All right.
Key to life. Low expectations.
Low expectations. Well, that's going to do it for today.
Yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, if you need some help, Unlocking the Magic Travel can help you with your Disney vacation planning, tickets, Disney Cruise, Disneyland, all that stuff. UnlockingTheMagicTravel.com, sponsoring this podcast right here. And if you want to join us inside of Patreon for some extra content, some extra podcasts, we're going to be doing some lives with people in the parks, kind of showing us what's happening live inside the parks. You can join us over at unlockingthemagic.com. There's a button for Patreon that you can join us over on that one.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, you guys, thank you so much for submitting these questions. We will do another one pretty soon, so hang tight.
Yeah.
And we'll answer your question.
Thank you so much. Low expectations.
Key to life. Bye, everybody.
See ya.